Bible reading this morning is from Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 21. Jesus drives out an impure spirit. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was.
Thank you so much. As Christians, we know that we are saved. And the English word saved, the word in English which is translated from the Greek word is sozo, and literally sozo means to be saved, healed, and set free. And the death of Jesus on the cross accomplished infinitely more than we hope or imagine. Father God loves each of us so much that he doesn't only want us to be saved, he wants to release healing and freedom in our lives too. And as we continue in this series, looking through Mark's Gospel, Jesus opens his public ministry in Capernaum with authoritative teaching. And we're not told the content of what he said, but as Mark contrasts it with the teaching of the scribes, who were teachers of the law, it may be that Jesus was saying that the heart of God's kingdom is not about keeping rules, but about responding to the Father's invitation to be in intimate relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And the people were then further amazed that Jesus did not only teach, but he demonstrated the good news of the kingdom as a man was set free from demonic oppression. And then the passage goes on to tell us about the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, as well as a whole multitude of people who were healed and set free. Healing and deliverance are two sides of the same coin. And they're both won by Jesus on the cross. And in the past, I've often focused on teaching about healing, but today I want to concentrate more on the demonic, because so much of the ministry of Jesus was setting people free from spiritual oppression. And in particular today, I want to pick up on three things. First of all, that there's no need for fear. Excuse me. Secondly, that Jesus ministers from identity with authority. And then finally, to ask the question, what does Jesus' ministry mean for us today? And as we look through the passage, I have a sense that the Lord is going to release new and greater spiritual freedom to us this morning, even as I'm speaking. And I just want to pray and release that now, if that's okay. Yeah, Father, you are in the business of setting people free. And this morning, I just want to release greater levels of freedom into each of our lives in Jesus' name. In every area in which we are spiritually oppressed, I release healing and freedom right now in Jesus' name. I release restoration in marriage. I release prosperity in business. I release spiritual healing now in Jesus' name. Yeah, and just that neck condition, I just release healing right now in Jesus' name. Just that burden of anxiety. If there's the spiritual of oppression, of anxiety, I just command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. And I release the peace of God in its place. Yeah, Father, thank you for what you're doing. It's more, Lord. We just give you permission to do all that you want to do in us this morning, so that we can step into all the freedom that you won for us on the cross. Amen. And I think the most important thing when we're thinking about or dealing with the demonic is that we do not need to be afraid. There is nothing to fear when we are in Christ. And actually, fear is one of Satan's chief weapons. If he can get us into fear, then he can completely undermine our effectiveness. And so the key thing that I want to look at first is that we do not need to fear. But it's true that there is a spiritual battle going on all around us. Now, in the West, we tend to ignore the demonic. Many people don't believe that demons exist. And even those who do often don't feel confident in dealing with demons and the demonic. But demons are real in the Bible, and they're real in people's experience. And as we begin, we need to know that God and Satan are not equal powers of good and evil, sort of fighting it out together. God is the only God, the Creator. Satan is simply a created being who rebelled against God. And at the fall, humanity gave Satan authority here on earth. And the long-term consequences of the fall are that we can get in bondage to sin. We can suffer from demonic affliction. We can have physical and emotional problems. And we can experience relational breakdown. But since the fall, God has been fighting to win us back. Jesus came, 1 John 3:8 says, to destroy the works of the devil. And now the world is under siege from the powers of light, and the victory has been won by Jesus. On the cross and in his resurrection, Jesus has defeated Satan, sin, and death. And our situation is similar to the time during the Second World War between D-Day and VE Day. You know, the Germans were effectively defeated after D-Day when the Allied armies landed in France. But the war continued until the Germans finally surrendered on VE Day. And in the same way, Satan is defeated. But the war still rages, and in his hate, he tries to destroy as much as he can. But Satan is now on the defensive, and we are soldiers in Christ's army taking ground and redeeming lives. And our mission is to rescue those who have been taken captive as a result of the fall. Shall I raise the microphone up a bit? Would that help you? And deliverance is no big deal. You know, we must neither be afraid nor to focus on demons or the demonic. We need to look to Jesus, who's done everything necessary to win our freedom on the cross. And, you know, I think when it comes to this whole area, there are those sort of two equal and opposite errors. You know, the first is to head through life in a sort of, you know, with a completely materialistic focus, taking no notice of what's going on in the spiritual world. The second is to sort of see evil spirits behind every misfortune, every sickness. You know, they're not. But what we have the power, the authority to confront these things, and we do not need to fear. Because Jesus has done everything necessary. There's no place, there's no need for fear. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that when Jesus ministers in this whole area, he ministers from identity with authority. And I think it's interesting in this passage in Mark 1 to look at the interplay between Jesus and the impure spirit. This is verse 23. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And the spirit starts verse 24, "What do you want with us?" And it's really interesting. If you look at what the spirit says, sometimes it speaks in the plural, sort of speaking for all unclean spirits generally. And sometimes it speaks in the singular for itself. But the key is when the spirit identifies Jesus, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And in doing so, the Spirit affirms both Jesus' earthly roots as the Messiah and his heavenly status as the Son of God. And in doing this, and as he does this, it is Jesus' identity that gives him the authority. And the Spirit recognizes Jesus' purpose. "Have you come to destroy us?" it asks. And the answer to that question is an unqualified yes. He has. Jesus has come to destroy. Jesus is the one in whom God has overcome Satan and his rule. And Jesus' coming not only threatens this unclean spirit, but points to the ultimate destruction of all satanic forces, which, as part of a larger battle, also includes healing and Jesus' triumph over death itself. Now, I think it's really important to remember that Jesus was not the only itinerant teacher at this time. There were lots of people, lots of rabbis wandering around teaching. But what Mark wants us to understand is that Jesus was set apart from all these other teachers by the authority that his identity conferred upon him. And we see Jesus' authority both in his teaching and in his dealing with the demonic. And in reply to the Spirit, Jesus simply says, "Be quiet, come out of him." That is all Jesus says. And the Spirit shook the man and forced a loud scream, a final abuse of his victim. And then the Spirit departed, the shriek actually a death wail, showing that it had been vanquished. But more clearly than anything else, the obedience of the unclean spirit demonstrates the nature of Jesus' authority. He ministers from identity with authority. And we get an insight, just in the little section I read out, we also get an insight into Jesus' motivation in this passage. He is so far from doing miracles as a way of demonstrating his power that he forbids the evil spirits from naming him. And, I think this is really a follow-on from the temptation. And one of the temptations that Satan tempted Jesus with was, to demonstrate his power, to throw himself off the temple, to make himself a public figure by the extraordinary things that he did. But Jesus rejects that way of doing it. Jesus did not intend to prove who he was by his acts of authority and power. He healed out of love for the sufferer. He cast out demons because they had no right to occupy and spoil human lives. Everything Jesus did was motivated by love, undeserved and unearned. And deliverance and healing are activities of God's grace. And our God's grace is extravagant. So everything Jesus did flowed through his identity in God and his authority as a son. And this meant that Jesus didn't pray for deliverance or healing, but commanded deliverance. "Be quiet, come out of him," in the authority that the Father gave him. And Jesus healed and set people free because he knew who he was and what he was called to do. But what does that mean for us today? It's obvious that the Messiah, the Son of God, would have ultimate authority in the spirit realm. But does that transfer to us? Can we expect the same things to happen here, now? Can we expect people to see people set free as Jesus did? Well, I think the simple answer to that question is yes. Now, the New Testament clearly teaches that we are, by grace, given the same identity of Jesus. This is Galatians 3:26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For you are all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So I just want you to say, have you been baptized? Just stick up your hand if you've been baptized. Okay, I think that's a fairly good shape. If you haven't been baptized, it is a really important thing to do. But if we've been baptized, then we are made children of God. Then this is Romans 8:14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. And there's the contrast. Satan would have us living in fear. The Father wants to set us free from fear. And so he adopts us as his children, sons and daughters of the living God, just like Jesus was. And not only are we freely given this identity as sons and daughters of the living God, we're also given Jesus' authority. A couple of chapters later in Mark 3, verse 14, it says this, Jesus appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. You know, Jesus clearly gave the same authority that he had to the 12 disciples. And that's exactly what they did. But it didn't end with them. Mark 16, 17 says this, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will place their hands on people who are ill, and they will get well. Are you among those who believe? I hope so. Because if you are, then in the name of Jesus, you will drive out demons. That's what Mark tells us. And we need to know who we are. We need to know the authority that we've been given. Otherwise, we will spend our lives chasing something that we've already got. We have been given the same identity and the same authority of Jesus. In John 20:21, Jesus says this, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And we're sent in the same way, with the same power that Jesus was. You know, and demons are always subject to Jesus. And Jesus has given his authority to every Christian to drive out demons. Now, that doesn't mean that we can run thoughtlessly into complicated pastoral situations, but we do have authority in Christ to see people set free. And as we know our identity and authority in him, it will overflow in deliverance and healing to those around us. We all have a part to play. But the trouble is, I think, often we're not terribly well prepared. The founder of the Vineyard Movement, John Wimber, used the analogy of joining the Navy. And when it comes to deliverance, so often we turn up with our shorts and suntan lotion, sort of expecting a Caribbean cruise on a luxury liner. You know, but when we turn up at the docks, we find a large grey ship with a number painted on the side. You know, it's a warship, not a cruise liner. And, you know, that's what we're called to. We're called to take part in this spiritual battle. And the journey of faith does not always take us through pleasant country, but ahead of us are the footsteps of Christ. And around us is the community of his people. Unfortunately, this morning, I've got another talk which starts to do more practical things, but unfortunately, I just don't have time to go into that this morning. But if you are interested in learning more, I would really like to recommend this book, They Shall Expel Demons, by Derek Prince. It's really good. It's really practical. There's even like the third from last chapter, there's a great way of delivering yourself. There's a sort of specimen prayer, and it goes through some some things that can help. And you can either do that by yourself or with someone else. But it's really good. It's a good theological grounding in this, much more than I can do this morning, and some really practical stuff as well. So if you are interested in learning more about this, then please do get this book, They Shall Expel Demons by Derek Prince. And hopefully I might at some point be able to do part two of this sermon and look at some more practical things. And I was struck, you know, right at the very beginning, there was quite a good challenge. He said, he talks about Jesus' ministry and how he said to Herod that Jesus would continue to cast out demons and perform cures until his earthly task was completed. And then Prince says, but the ministry was not to end then. When Jesus commissioned his followers, he transmitted his authority to do them. In fact, he never sent anyone out to preach the gospel without specifically instructing and equipping that person to take action against demons in the same way that he himself did. With every call to spread the gospel in the New Testament, there is a call to set people free from demonic oppression. And every time we preach the gospel, it must be part of our armory too. Because the thing is, Jesus validated his ministry not with intellectual argument, but with a demonstration of the coming of the kingdom of God. And usually when the church sort of retreats into intellectual justification of things, it's a sure sign that we've lost our power. But the Lord is calling us back into that place of identity and authority. Jesus showed who he was by what he did. And we're called to show who we are as sons and daughters of the living God, who are called to be in the Lord's army. We're called to show who we are by what we do. And the deliverance recounted here in Mark was not an isolated incident. It was Jesus' intention that the gospel would be spread in the way that he spread it, with both proclamation and demonstration. You know, Jesus has won the victory over demons, disease, and death. And from his identity, Jesus dealt with demons authoritatively. His words and his deeds alike caused the crowd to wonder. And verse 32, right towards the end of what Liz was reading, makes the point that the last section, it says very specifically that it was after the sun had set. And sort of the way the Jewish days work, the day didn't finish at midnight, the day finished at sunset. And so that was the official end of the Sabbath, was when the sun set. The Sabbath had just ended, and it says this, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. And Mark may be suggesting that it is only when the synagogues were closed and the official business of worshipping God was over that, in the open air, the real work of the kingdom could begin. And if so, I think there is a challenge for us here as the church. You know, do we wait until after church to get people free? Does church have to be so neat and so orderly, you know, so rigid, that those who need to find healing and freedom have to wait till after church or have to go to somewhere else? Surely this should be the place where people can come for healing and freedom. Because our church is called to be a place of freedom, not simply propagating religious rules, but leading each of us to the one who won our freedom on the cross. And so I'd love just to leave you with those three things. That when it comes to demons and the demonic, we do not need to be afraid, because we're in Christ. That when Jesus ministered, he ministered from identity and with authority. And we're called to minister in exactly the same way. That when we take the gospel, we take more than a message of freedom, but we release that freedom. And that's what I'm going to pray this morning. May we stand together. If you need freedom this morning, you don't need to wait till church is over. You don't need to wait till sundown. You don't need to wait till midnight. Our God is here now, and he is in the business of setting people free. And there are loads of ways that people get set free. And sometimes it's literally just as the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, just the presence of the light and love of God drives out everything. And that's what I'm going to pray this morning. And there are other things, sometimes other things that we need to do, and I haven't had time to go through them this morning. But there are key things that can keep us in bondage, are things like holding on to unforgiveness, holding on to sinful patterns in our lives. And there are things like that sometimes where we've given Satan a legal foothold that we need to deal with before we can get free. And I'm not going to have a chance this morning to step us through all of that. But just as I pray for the Holy Spirit to come, it may be that the Lord shows you something. It may be an area of sin in your life that you just need to ask for forgiveness for. It may need to be a broken relationship where you're holding on to unforgiveness and that you need to release forgiveness to get free. And there are 9 or 10 steps that he goes through, Derek Prince goes through in this book with all those things in. But just as we pray this morning, just be aware particularly of those two things. And then to say, just in the quietness of your heart, just if you do have to repent or forgive, just in the quietness of your heart, say, I mean, when you've done that, just say now, demon, Satan, I just command you to leave my life right now in the name of Jesus. So we start simply by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and getting full of his presence. So Holy Spirit, thank you that you're already here. But we ask for more of you. More of you. Come, Holy Spirit. More of your presence. I release the light and life and love of the Spirit right now in Jesus' name. And as that light comes, I just command the darkness to go right now. Any darkness in our lives. And I release deeper intimacy and relationship with you right now, Lord. It's deeper presence, more intimacy. We're just going to have a moment of quiet. And just if something, if there's business you do need to do with the Lord, it's a chance to do it now. Just for anyone who's done some business now, has dealt with something where Satan has had a legal foothold in our lives, I just command that to be broken, that influence. We just say the legal access point is gone. And we just say go in Jesus' name. And right now I release deliverance and protection from the assignments of the enemy for each of us, for our families. And I ask, Lord, that you protect what you've done today in people's lives today, and that you would continue to be leading us into greater and greater freedom. That we would be truly saved, healed, and set free. For your glory, Lord God Almighty.